Welcome back, friends. We're celebrating Jesus' birth, but this is ultimately what he comes to do. He stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth, and this is the scripture that he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. One of the people and the organizations that is doing that these days and is looking forward to doing it even more is the Dream Center. And if you haven't heard about the Dream Center, that's what we're going to be hearing about here this morning. One of my newer friends is Wes Giesbrook, and he is the president of the Red Deer Dream Center, the president of the board of the Dream Center. And so we've asked him to come in and share this morning about what the Dream Center is and what they are looking forward to God doing here in our city in Red Deer. So Wes, if you would just like to unmute yourself, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this. And Wes has joined us on a couple of different calls, but this is the first time that he's had the opportunity to share. So Wes, we're looking forward to hearing your story and more about what the Dream Center is and how God is at work. So take it away, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for just having us and just being able to serve in a manner that would just serve you guys and serve our community. Marco, I know you have a video, and I thought it would be just important to play it real quick. And it gives you a brief snapshot of what the Dream Center is. And then I'll go into a little more detail afterwards and just share with you what a group of us business individuals basically have embarked on, and to share with you what's happened from 2017 to today. So, Marco, if you could do that, that would be wonderful.
Despite all my involvement, in Christian environments from as long as I can remember, I think I've gone to church every week for almost 58 years. I struggled with stuff. I struggled from the age of 8 with a pornography addiction. By the time I got into my teens, I was getting into alcohol and drugs and tobacco and all those things. And as a good little Christian boy, you don't tell anyone, of course, right? Especially your mom and dad. And so I just kept all those things inside. I thought maybe Bible school would fix that, and it didn't. I thought maybe marrying the perfect wife would fix that, and it didn't. I thought church ministry, teaching Sunday school, being an elder, leading worship, being on pretty much every church committee you could imagine, that would fix it, and it didn't. My marriage was a mess. If I wasn't sure if I was going to have, even a family when I got home. March 13th, 2013, where I had to sit down with my family and share with them that I was an alcoholic. My son dropped me off at the rehab center. And that's kind of humbling, right? And that began, I guess, the journey for me of understanding what is it about addiction that is so controlling.
So why is this important to Red Deer today? I think part of the issue is that we need to recognize where we're at as a community. And right now, addictions are taking us out. This is something that has gone on for far too long, that the Red Deer Dream Center Society has a plan to move forward in trying to help solve. We've seen such a dramatic increase in the addiction side in our downtown core specifically, and there's no options for these people. Addictions recovery is one of the greatest gaps in our social structure today.
It's not just people outside the church that are struggling, it's many of us within the church as well.
So the proposed alcohol and drug recovery center that we've been recently approved for gives people the means here in town to get recovery. We've been approved for 48-bed sleeping arrangements for individuals that can stay for a long-term addictions recovery program. We'll have on site a full commercial kitchen, some recreational facility, equipment, workout center, offices, and not losing the worship space that we have been meeting there on a very regular basis. This is a story that Red Deer's never written before. This is something that we as a faith community, if we believe in so strongly, that this is something that we have to get behind. This isn't an option, this is a calling. And we have to step in, and we're asking you to step in with us.
It's personal for me, and I have been sober for 7 years, over 7 years now, by the grace of God. It's taken work, and I think I've understood a little bit about what my journey was all about, and then hopefully how I can help others in that journey as well.
So ask the Lord what part He wants you to play in this road to recovery.
When I watch that video, I get excited because I get to see that space downtown. It's the former Lotus nightclub, for those of you that don't know the space that was identifying. It's right downtown on 50th. And for what it stood for the last 17, 18 years, I find it interesting because the reality is it was birthed for a specific purpose. It just took 17 years to come into fruition. So back in April of 2017, there was a group. I'm a real estate agent by normal means. That's my job. And so I have the privilege of actually, and I never saw this before, but I have the privilege of meeting many individuals, corporations who own property, who own businesses in the Red Deer and Central Alberta communities. And it actually gave me specific knowledge and specific expertise, if you will, to help facilitate something like this. So I grew up in First Baptist Church in Peace River, Alberta. Actually, your former pastor, Bob McLaren, I think Rob McLaren, his dad was my pastor back in Peace River, Alberta. So for a season. So I thought that was kind of interesting when I met Rob first. But anyway, I'll digress from that. About the Dream Center. So it is a drug and alcohol addictions recovery program. It is something that we as a community have experienced many. And I think when I look at every one of the screens here and I see all the people here, I don't think I have to look far you don't have to go and look far to see that addictions have touched every one of us. Inside the church, outside the church. Pastor Wayne, I call him Pastor Wayne because he is a pastor at Mount Olives Church. He leads worship and recovery in Three Hills, Alberta. And he has a passion for recovery. And he knows what recovery stands for because he walked through it personally. And I think some of us have our stories that we can relate to. But the reality is, as a believer in Jesus, we all believe in recovery. Dead things come to life. And to me, that's recovery. And so from a Christian standpoint, we all have experienced recovery in some form or another. That one in particular being the most important one, becoming a follower of Jesus. So back in April of 2017, I'll just share a little bit of the story, and then I'll share some stories that have just really encouraged me and the board moving forward, and just knowing full well that the Lord had His hand on this right from the start, even before we were selected by Him to push this endeavor. So in April of 2017, I represented a group of individuals who purchased the Lotus nightclub. And at that point, we had no idea what we were going to do with it, and decided that at one point we needed to investigate some options on how to bring healing to the downtown. This is an interesting place because for what it stood for so many years. To see the adverse thing happened into it from going to a place that serves alcohol and deals in drugs and all of the different things to actually a place for redemption. It's really fits well with what the Father does in our lives and in history that we've read in the Bible. So once we had decided or what we understood what a recovery center would look like, one of the models that we only knew about was the LA Dream Center. And so many of you have heard of the LA Dream Center. It's founded by Matthew Barnett and his dad, Tommy Barnett. And we had the privilege back in February of going down there, Seth Schalk and myself, another board member. And we went down to see exactly what they do and how they do it. And Aaron Befford is Matthew Barnett's right-hand man. And he'd introduced us to the whole recovery center, which I thought was a recovery center. And he, throughout about, you know, 3 or 4 hours into our tour, he looked at me and he said, Wes, we don't do recovery here. We do discipleship. And that really stuck to me because I, you know, you don't do recovery, but you do discipleship. And so it was just that real painting a picture of what the Lord was doing in that place. They actually teach people how to follow Jesus, so much so that the things of the world go strangely dim. And it was so interesting to watch story after story after story of these individuals that we would run into, whether they were mopping floors or whether they were painting or whether they were the doorman or the resident assistants. They all had these stories, and these are hard stories, people on the streets, needles in their arms, just story after story of redemption. And we were at a space where we'd talked about what are we going to do with this recovery center? Because there's a real line with recovery. So we can do the traditional recovery style, if you will. One of them being an undergirding Jesus at the bottom, you know, faith-based, we'll call it, program, or we can do what's called an overarching Jesus-based program. And so for a while, we'd called ourselves a faith-based program, and, you know, it started to stick with me a little bit, but there's a pit in my stomach that just didn't like that, because Jesus is the center of recovery. We can have lots of good programs, but there's 12-step programs, there's 5-step programs, there's a 1-step program. And that's something that, you know, I've experienced myself personally. So I'll just share a little bit of the story of how we had that. That was the LA Dream Center that we went and experienced that. We came back with that resolve saying that Jesus is the answer, Jesus is Lord. And, you know, that draws a real line in our community, because when we say that, the funding options basically go to zero. And so if it's about money, you really have to toe a line, and you have to sacrifice certain things. If you're willing to do the faith-based line, there's certain things you can't say. And so the Calgary Dream Center was our closest closest thing that we had that was close to us that we could address or that we could reference. And so we became really good friends with the Dream Center in Calgary. And Jim Moore, who was the CEO of that organization, him and I actually started dialoguing back and forth personally, because we had no idea what this was going to look like. And so they'd offered a hand and said, look, you know, we'll help you. We'll help you get going. We'll help you. We'll give you the program. We'll give you what you need. We'll give you some experience. We'll give you some stats and what we've done for the last 13, 14, 15 years. And the reason why they stepped in is because they, if you know the Calgary Dream Center, the history of it, they were once Calgary's biggest nightclub. They were a 4-story, you name it. That it was called the Majestic. If you do the research back, it was an old hotel that was bought by an investor who turned it into a big nightclub, and it was one of Calgary's worst nightmares, if you will. And the Dream Center moved into that, and they took it over, and they were backed by First Assembly in Calgary, and they ended up bringing this drug and alcohol recovery program that was based very similar to the one in LA. So when we started talking with Jim, Jim offered to come down and to bring his team and to share with our community what recovery would look like from a Dream Center perspective. So we came back from the meeting with the Calgary Dream Center, and we sat around a table and we thought, well, it's only right that we call our Dream Center the Red Deer Dream Center. I mean, they've got the LA Dream Center, they've got the Calgary Dream Center. It's just only right, it fits. And so right away I built a website that would, you know, house our information and some of the things that we were doing. It was on GoDaddy. It was just a real simple website. And one of the board members actually came to me on our steering committee, and she said, have you registered the name, the Red Deer Dream Center, as a limited company? And I said, no, I haven't. I don't think we need to at this point. We'll probably move forward at another time when we need to. But right now, I mean, who's going to have the name Red Deer Dream Center? And just to digress a little bit, when we purchased the building, there was an individual by the name of Peter Lehan. Many of you might have know who he is or know who he is. He was one of the founding members of Loaves and Fishes here in Red Deer, down at the down in the Riverside Meadows area, and had a big philanthropic heart and had means to fund it. And so he was a big part of what we were doing in the downtown. It was actually his money that stepped in and purchased the former Lotus nightclub. So as we were sitting here around the table and discussing the name and things like that. About 3 months after that, we got an email from an individual whose name is Bill Mearns. And he emailed us and said, "Hey, I understand that you're doing a Dream Center here in Red Deer. Just so you know, I own the Red Deer Dream Center as a limited company, my son and I, and we should probably have a conversation about this." And right away I thought, oh my goodness, who is this guy? And where, I can't believe that he has this company. And I phoned my assistant right away and I said, "Look, please, like, pull the articles of incorporation. Let's make sure this guy is telling me the truth and let's check into this." And so she pulled the articles of incorporation and it said exactly what he had said: Bill and Tim Mearns, 50% shareholders, Red Deer Dream Center Limited as a company, but it was registered in November of 2016. And I thought, this doesn't make any sense. How is this Red Deer Dream Center as a registered company done way before we even bought this place or even had this idea? So I emailed Bill right away and said, "Bill, we really need to have a talk. I'm really curious as to how you have this name and what drove you to get this name." And so we sat and we had a coffee and he shared with me about being involved in an organization called Loaves and Fishes. He was the accountant for Loaves and Fishes. And he asked me, he said, "Do you know a man named Peter Land?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, Mr. Land was a big part of Loaves and Fishes. And Loaves and Fishes wasn't doing super well. And so when the Mustard Seed had approached us to help or take over, we decided as a board to pass on the Loaves and Fishes organization to the Mustard Seed and the assets that were attached to it, to let them look after running the program down there for homelessness." And he said, "You know, in November of 2016, Peter came to me and said, 'Bill, here's $1,000. I need you to go register the name Red Deer Dream Center, because one day we want to bring a Dream Center to Red Deer.'" In January of 2017, Peter passed away of a heart attack. He was down south. And nobody ever heard that story again. We didn't know about this registration. We had no idea about that. And when I talked with Bill, I had tears coming down my eyes. And I thought, "Bill, you have no idea. This is amazing." And so I invited him to come to the Dream Center for a information night. We had the men from the Calgary Dream Center coming and sharing their experience and what it would do for our city. And Bill and his wife came. And after that meeting, he came to me and said, "Wes, this is exactly what Peter Land would have wanted." And I said, "You know, Bill," I said, "this is Peter Land's building." And it was just quite a story. And it was just one of those ones that would build your faith. If you didn't have a lot of faith, that just shot my faith up, you know, another 10 notches. And he said, "You know, the one thing I didn't tell you," he said, "Wes, we'll give you the name. That's not an issue. We'll just sign it over to you and the board." But he said, "What I didn't tell you is Peter also told me that one day when Loaves and Fishes was going to be shut down, to please keep filing the charity status for Loaves and Fishes, because one day we're going to need that too." And he said, "Wes, I want to give you that as well." And I don't know if you know much about a charity status, but the charity statuses aren't easy to get. And they can take 2 years of just constantly applying and checking. So to get this, the name, to get the program, the building, and then to get the charity status all within that time frame was just an act of the Lord. Like it was nothing short of a miracle. And so we could have screwed that up royally. I mean, there were so many of us on the board that were just sitting there looking at each other thinking, like, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. I mean, how do these things line up the way they do? And then some of you may have been following a little bit of our approval process. We applied back in December and were denied originally and then had to go back and reapply. And we got approved through an appeal process. And then through that appeal process that was handed out a year ago, actually in December, with this COVID thing that hit, we looked at our plans because we had approval for a 48-bed recovery center and a third level that was going to be added onto the Dream Center downtown that was going to change things but add significant expense to the renovation. So the total bill was going to be around $2.8 million to do the reno, to do the addition, and then to house all of these individuals. And after coming back from LA, we realized that they do things a little bit differently. They do it like a camp. So you have bunk beds, you have guys all sleeping in the same room, There might be segregated spaces in the room, you know, for different levels of treatment or different lengths that people have been there. But it's done in a family. It's done in a community minded or place. There's always something connection wise. I mean, it's definitely a different process. And so it really helped us change our thought process. So when March hit, we thought, you know, that extra, if we could do it without adding the third floor, that would be significant in cost. And so we went to our architect and she said, yep, you can do this. And so we were able to incorporate the 40 beds on the second floor and we didn't have to add that third level. And it worked. And so it saved us over $1 million just in the renovation process. But we had to do another approval. Our old approval was attached to the third level. Get this new approval that would save us a bunch of money. We had to go back to the same board that denied us the first time and reapply all over again, which was a big ball of wax. But we did it and we got the approval. They dropped us down from 48 to 40 and we got our approval in July. So where does that leave us today? We started our fundraising process basically in July, August of this year, and we're able to actively ask for money, knowing that our budget was $1.4 million now from 2.6, I think it was, originally. And so it was a lot more attainable. And then an operating budget to facilitate this program of just under $1 million. So 968,000, I think it was 865 is what we've shaved it to, but we've, you know, 960 is kind of the number that we have for an operating budget on an annual basis with the preface that Jesus is the center of recovery. And so with that, we are going to the masses, we are going to individuals, we are going to corporations, to churches, and we're asking partnerships because we know that the money isn't going to be coming in from the government. But we do know that there's so many different opportunities here for Jesus to shed his light on this. I mean, this is a faith-based, but it's a Jesus-focused recovery center right in the heart. And we've had so many prophetic declarations made over this place that it has been a heart that's had a defibrillator hit it and it started pumping again. And as it pumps, you know, the blood that it's pumping is going to go from the center of the city and start infiltrating everywhere. And so we're in that stage where miraculously we've hit just under $650,000 in fundraising efforts. And that is, it's a miracle. One of the stories that I'll share with you is just an individual that's come, loves Jesus, loves the fact that this place has been built on worship. You know, one of the key features of this place is worship. We didn't know what to do in this place when we first started it. We just started worshiping. And I remember the first night that we sat on that stage and we started belting out praises to Jesus. This is the first time that that's ever happened in a stage like that. I think it sent shockwaves into the heavens. It has by far changed the landscape down there. So where it leaves us now, I want to share a story with you that was just so impactful for me. And it just talks about the Father's love. And it's based out of Revelation 3. I believe it's Revelation 3. It talks about refiner's fire and that you buy gold and you buy silver from me, the Lord says. It's the refining process of it. And about a month and a half, 2 months ago, we had an individual show up and say, Wes, would you guys be willing to take a donation? But I have some silver. Would you be able to take it? And I thought, sure. Yeah, we'll deal with it. We'll figure it out. And he came and gave me this little silver 1 ounce coin. And on it was the inscription that said Commonwealth of the Kingdom of God. And I thought, well, that was just really, I've never seen silver before. And so he said, yeah, I want to give you some silver. And I said, well, that's great. Thanks for the silver. And he's like, no, there's more. It's in my truck. And would you come outside and get it from me? And so I went to his truck and in the back, there's five suitcases full. And I said, well, how much silver is this? And he said, well, it's 200 pounds. And I'm like, 200 pounds of silver? And he said, yes. And, well, how many ounces is that? And he's like, well, that's about 3,300 ounces. And I'm sitting there looking at this. I can't even lift most of this. And I'm putting it in the back of my truck and I'm not sure what to do with it. And the Lord, after I'm driving down the road with 200 pounds of silver, I'm like, what do I do with this? I got to go to the bank and see if they'll hold it. And just beside myself and through it, when I get home, I pick up it's a 100 ounce bar. I've never seen bullion before. And on it, there's a stamp and it says 0.999. And that's the purest that the world can get for refinement. And right away, as I read those numbers, the Lord said to me, my standard's 1.000. He's like, and this is the refining process. He's like, I need to refine things that are going on in you and in the church and in the Dream Center and all of these things. We just want to keep it solely focused on who Jesus is. And so it was such a revealing testimony of just gracious or you know, amazing generosity. It's just blown me away. And this individual said, I don't want to be named. I don't want a receipt. I just believe in what you're doing. And I stand behind you. So, you know, that's just one of the stories that we've had that just has expressed God's generosity to this little engine that could, I call it. You know, it's always been under the odds. It's always been against the grain. It's never had the some people are thinking, why would you do that downtown? And quite honestly, if I could be really honest with you, I think I would prefer to have it outside of town too, on a ranch that would be like have horses and cows, and it would just be beautiful. But you know, when the Lord is stepping into something like this and he's been making a way where there hasn't been a way, like who am I? So that just gives you a bit of a summary of where we've been as a board. Our goal was to hit 800,000 by the end of the year. We're pretty close. I mean, we're not quite there yet. We're just, like I said, just under 650,000 in total giving. That's commitments and donations. One of the things that we've done is we've created this thing called Freedom Funders. Freedom Funders are individuals who commit a dollar per bed per month for recovery. It's tangible, it's affordable, it's cheap for everyone. And if we have 1,800 Freedom Funders, which I know that there's at least 1,800 people in Red Deer that know Jesus, that love Jesus, that believe in recovery, that if we can get 1,800 people to sign up at $40 a month, that's our budget for the year. So it's quite interesting to see how this has come together. And it's just really, it's a community answer to a solution or to a problem that has been taking us apart. And us as Christians have the answer. We just have to get the means and just to get it going. We really need to get it going. So we're in that space right now where we're just trying to share the story, share the testimonies. We've already sent one guy into recovery, and he's graduated. This is from the Dream Center in Calgary. That's been amazing. And we worship down there. We worship the first Friday of every month. It has been amazing to just see how God wants his people to worship. And I always equate it to a shotgun or a sniper rifle. If you're struggling and you're having trouble, you load up your shotgun and you start blasting it. And that's worship, because worship will blast everything around you in a short radius. It gets rid of the darkness. It gets rid of the enemy. And then when we start doing intercession, it's like hunting with a 30-06. You can pick it off from 300 yards away. And that's how the Lord has been leading us. And the one verse that's really been so crucial in all this is Exodus 14:14. He said, the Lord your God will fight for you. Just stay calm. And that has been written on our scripture around the building. We have rebar already laid, and that's memory verses and scripture verses all around the Dream Center. It's been written on the walls. It's going to be a permanent fixture of that place because it's built on a solid foundation. But Ben, that's basically my what I wanted to share with you. I hope I didn't bore you. It's been so exciting to be a part of this. I don't feel qualified at all. I feel like the Lord just keeps pointing himself as the one that gets the glory. And we just want to do the best we can to point it to him and say, thank you, Jesus. He is coming through. He's making a way where there's no way. And we are seeing hearts redeemed. We're seeing people show up that just encounter Jesus in a new way. We've seen healings that have happened in that place. It's just been an amazing thing. And I can't wait to be standing there with those individuals that graduate from this recovery program when it's open.
Thanks, Wes. That's so awesome. It's great to hear the way God has been at work and has made the way possible for you all along the way here. So thank you so much for sharing. I want to continue to stay in touch and hear more about what's going on. Let me just pray for you guys, and then we'll go to discussion time. Lord, thank you so much for the way that you were laying down the path to make this happen before all the different players were even aware that they were part of a bigger story of what you were doing. And Lord, I pray that the ultimate goal of this thing will A, be your glory and your praise, the worship that Wes has talked about, and B, that it would be the discipleship, and that recovery would happen as a result of discipleship for many, many men and women who need it in this city. This city desperately needs recovery. But Lord, we even more desperately need Jesus, and we need him to bring it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to make the way where there has not been a way, because you are, we sing about you being way maker and miracle worker. And we've heard about it this morning. Thank you so much for it. Continue to bless Wes and their board as they move on in their next steps. I pray that all of the funds would be there by the time they are needed, that you have been building their faith throughout this process. And I pray that they would continue to worship every time a dollar comes in and say, thank you, Lord, so much for providing. Lord, we know that you are going to provide. And I ask that you would send those, put it on people's hearts, and send the people who are going to own this thing, to own discipleship and recovery, not just faith-based discipleship, but Jesus-centered recovery and discipleship. Lord, that's what we're praying for. So thank you so much for this place, and I pray your blessings over it in the days to come. Lord, thanks for our time together, for the way that you have been worshiped through this time and been therefore present with us. We look forward to your presence going with us throughout this week. Lord, we bless you and thank you. In your name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Bless you, my friends. Thank you for being with us. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week. Oh, one announcement. I'm away on vacation this coming week, so you will you will be just fine without me, but I just thought I should let you know about that. And Corey Sickstrom will be speaking for us this coming Sunday. So bless you, my friends. See you later. Have a good week.